From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we're the Forum for the Fans, Steve, Chris, everybody else jumping on the line, man.
Chris,
what's going on? How you doing?
Man, that's a dope beat. You know how I feel about that beat every Thursday? You that means something live is about to happen. Some intellect is going to be imparted. Some wisdom is going to be thrown. And we all bleed blue at the same time. I love it. What's up, Azul?
What's going on, man? It's Super Bowl weekend, man.
It's here. You know, and I'm gonna tell you something. You know, the two teams that are here are the teams that deserve to be here, man. If you really look at it and go back over the season and see what their effort consisted of week after week after week, we got a good Super Bowl coming up, I think. And we're gonna even find out even how much better it's going to be after we talk to the stakeholders this week. And I'm really, really good. You know, it's gonna be a really, really nice show today. I know it will be, man. All the smart people are here. So, yeah, let's rock and roll, man.
Let's get into a roll call. But let me remind people, because next week we will be on and getting back to our team and getting back to, you know, any other teams or any news around the league.
Yes.
But that is going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
Yep,
so
yep.
If you're looking for the Bleed Blue Show live and you want to call in or you want to listen in, people are listening all the time, live to the live episodes, the live feed, all they have to do is tune in 1 hour later in the off season. We'll be on every other week in the off season.
There you go.
All right,
there you go. So let's rock and roll. Who's on the line?
Let's go to Carl, man. BigBlueChicago.com, man. Just say hello, get a roll call going. How you doing?
Uh-oh. My man.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Good evening.
Final week of the, I'm doing
okay. You know, I know we've got the final game of the season coming up on Sunday, but man, I tell you what, you know, I've not really had a chance to really, you know, put my, you know, heart into the football this week because of the tragic passing of Kobe and his daughter on Sunday.
Right.
It's been heartbreaking, man. And, you know, I can't stop getting enough coverage of it. Whenever it's on, I'm reading as much as I can and watching all the people. It's a heavy heart, man, I got to say.
Right. Really is.
All right, we'll be right back, Carl.
All right, cool.
Man.
Let's go to Worm.
Okay.
Worm, say hello to the people. How you doing?
How's everybody doing tonight?
Good, man. How you doing?
Coaster, man. Glad you showed
good.
Up, man. We want to hear that warming wisdom.
Yes, sir.
All right, Steve. All right, that's work. And
cool.
Finally, who else we got, Steve?
Let's go to Dre, man.
Grant. What's up, man?
What's good, everybody? You know, coming down, coming to you from Miami in the thick of it, right in the middle of the Super Bowl, you know, chilling. So tomorrow I'm gonna try to get on TV for y'all. I'm going on the first take set. You know, I gotta go look at my baby mama up close in person.
Okay.
Neither, you know, mom.
No, do my thing. In fact, Steve,
but y'all look for me. Y'all look for me. I'm gonna try to get on TV.
What you gonna have on?
Giant shirt, man. Of course.
Giant shirt. What does that mean? Giant shirt, giant jersey, giant hat? You're going to be
no,
working
no, no,
weapon?
No, I'm going to have a shirt on. It's hot as hell in Miami. I got to put the shirt on.
That I'll be waiting to see. Cool beans. All right.
But, yeah.
All right. But hold on, Dre. We're coming back. Let's do some we got to do some house cleaning, man. I want everybody to know on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google, The Bleed Blue Show. Check us out. Bleed Blue Show. We're everywhere. Check us out there. Also, you know, if you can't and you want to listen to some of the other shows, we're on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. 929-477-4171.
Yeah.
Azul, take it away, sir.
Yeah, man. This game is an interesting matchup. I think for put me on the clock for 4 minutes, Chris, a fourth minute, and then we
got
can go to you and then go to everybody else. Put me on for 4 minutes. Oh, by the way, when we go back around, I definitely want to try to give a give and take. So, you know, if you feel like speaking on your time, that's fine. But if you want to ask questions and comments to other stakeholders, that's fine as well. We kind of we want to encourage that more. But anyway, it's really hard, man, because my heart and brain leans to Kansas City in this game. I'm not saying I'm picking them as the winner, but I want to give the 49ers the respect that they are deserving to be in this position. They beat up the Green Bay Packers. They beat up the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
They ran the ball.
Yep.
That's what they do well. And their defense is, you know, their front seven especially. They have a lot of young horses out there. They got, you know, they got Sherman on the outside, and they ask him what they got him doing what they need him to do as far as at his cornerback position. I'm just highlighting what I see as the game match. The matchup as far as the offense of the Kansas City Chiefs versus the defense of the Niners. That's kind of what the main game of it is to me. I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs defense, it has some bright spots with D4, Honey Badger. Having Terrell Suggs in that locker room, that definitely goes a long way. I don't think that should go unnoticed. But do I think the Kansas City Chiefs run defense could stop the Niners? I'm going to say no. And that's where I think where the Niners, I mean, obviously I think, you know, I don't watch these TV shows and stuff, whatever the experts say. I just go off what I see. It's, to me,
right.
it really comes down to, could the Niners do what they do, run the ball and make timely throws? And I don't think the receivers get enough credit for run, for not only pass catching, but for run blocking. I mean, Deebo Samuel, if you know his career at University of South Carolina, that's what he does. He's a physical receiver. Adding Emmanuel Sanders was a good pickup for them. I think this is a matchup. And then you add in – these are actually the best two tight ends in the league playing
yes,
against each other. And if you want to throw an Ertz in there as a third, whatever. But as far as
Kittle – No, these are two good. You got it right.
Kittle is the better blocker.
Yep.
But I think Kelsey runs very good routes, and I want to see how the Niners – well, not the Niners, but the Kansas City Chiefs, who they're going to throw on him in situations. They're probably going to double him. That's probably going to set up one-on-one matchups on the outside if they decide to throw the ball. But I think the Niners, with Raheem Mostert, he could run the ball. I'm going to leave it at that so another stakeholder can get in on it on what they think in the game. Chris, you have any thoughts?
Just a small one. I'm probably going to take about 30 seconds here with this one. I think this is just me. Because I'm looking at just one intangible of this game, Steve. I think the pass defense for the 49ers, they've gotten a fair amount of work because they built up all these comfortable leads. So that obviously the opposing team has to go to the air all the time. If you notice this past season, they've also been very solid against the pass. I'm not sure, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I only think they gave up about 300-yard games this year. And one of them was against the Saints. You know, y'all saw that game, like 350 yards and 5 scores on the, you know, at the Superdome. And the 49ers did get hurt by that passing game by the Rams last week, okay, or the week before, I should say, whatever the hell it was. I don't remember when it was. But anyway, I truly think that's the key to this game. That's the tangible. I'll talk about that as we go around again. But during the past season, Bosa's he's incredible, man. You know, him, Jesse Armstead got two sacks. Bosa has three. Buckner, D. Ford, Solomon Thomas. I don't know, man. It looks well. It looks good. Sherman has a couple of picks. Mosley has the other one. It looks great, but that's the key. If that can stand up against this particular passing offense that the Kansas City Chiefs has, hey, bruh, we may see something. We'll say. I have to hold my prediction. I'm going to say my shit, but I don't want to do it until the end of the game. I mean, under the show. But that's something to see. That's what I'm focusing on. Nonetheless, let's go around it. Let's go around. Starting with Carl, BigBlueChicago.com, and let's rock it. All right. Do you feel, man? You got your 4 minutes, too.
Sure, thank you. You know, I love this matchup. There's just so much talent on the field on both sides. And
yes, there
you
is.
Know, I love watching both of these two teams play. And that's why I don't even want to pick a winner. I don't want to have any sort of rooting interest.
Is that the Rams? Oh, sorry.
Not on either side.
I don't know what the hell I'm thinking.
Because I love watching both of these teams. And, you know, the styles in which these two teams play. You know, let me start with the Chiefs. You know, listen, we see what they do. We talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago, I should say, about Mahomes being an eraser. You know, you could be down 10 points and all of a sudden – but, you know, snap of your fingers, it's, you know, 21-10 or 28. You know, they've been scoring 30 points a game all these weeks. And, you know, the funny thing about the 49ers is, you know, I think a lot of us have not seen them play much. And I think there is a lot of folks out there that are underselling them, not necessarily on purpose, but because – they were not on television a lot. It wasn't until about middle of November when the 49ers really started getting some level of notoriety as to what they were doing. But when you watch them man for man, you know, in terms of how they conduct their business on offense, defense, special teams, they do not have a weakness. And there is a lot to be said for being very high quality at just about every position. Like, if you go through the 49ers one by, you know, position group by position group, and you're trying to find a specific spot on their team where you can poke a hole at, it is very, very hard. And, you know, I know a lot of odd criticism has come about over the last 2 weeks about the fact that the 49ers apparently run the ball too much, and thus Jimmy Garoppolo can't be trusted. Did anybody realize, or did anybody just kind of, I don't know, take the idea that perhaps the reason why the 49ers ran the ball so much is because the other team couldn't stop them? Is that possible? I mean, you know, early in the game, if you go back to the Minnesota game, the 49ers went out and passed their way to scoring drives in the first two possessions of the game. After about the second quarter, they sort of realizing that, you know, the Vikings can't really stop us. They were tired, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago as well in terms of just the overall wear and tear that the Vikings had with the playoff game the week before, the games, you know, going into that game, and the 49ers just basically took them and just wore them right out of the stadium. And then last, the championship game, why throw a pass? They were running the ball for 8 yards of carry. What was the purpose of passing the ball? And so, as I finish up here...
Keep going, bro.
Okay. As I finish up here, as we look at this matchup coming up Sunday, you know, the Chiefs are going to have a lot to contend with. It's probably the most talented team the Chiefs have faced all season long. No question about it.
Is it? Okay. Well, I guess you're on time, man. All right. Carl, we'll be right back. 929-477-4171. Worm, like your Facebook page. Worm, you are up. Oh, man. Okay. What do you think, bro?
Hello?
Warren, you there?
Oh, hey, I'm there. You know, I'm probably not taking a team either way in this game. Sports betting-wise, I'm probably going to do probably a lot of, like, the prop bets and stuff, because I don't feel comfortable either way. You know, San Francisco, they didn't run the ball very well. I think they established that all season long, and I think they really put that exclamation point on it in the playoffs. If they can stay on the field and play ball control and, you know, gash Kansas City's defense to death on runs, you know, run the ball, and keep Patrick Mahomes and their offense on the sideline, you know, San Francisco has a very good chance of taking the game on Sunday. Defensively for San Francisco, their defense is lights out. I love their defensive coordinator. You know, I'm sure he's going to have something dialed up, especially for Kansas City's offense. I would be shocked if he doesn't have something special put in coverage-wise, mixing some exotic blitzes. I'm expecting a really slick game plan out of him, you know, defensively. And Shanahan, this is his chance to redeem himself when he lost me $250 the last time he was coaching in the Super Bowl. You know, when they were up 28-3 against New England. This is Shanahan's, you know, chance to, you know, show that, you know, he's grown from the mistakes. And the last time he was coaching in this spot. I'm expecting him to come out with, you know, exotic, you know, play calls, exotic schemes. But, you know, I don't see him getting too much away from his normal game script, which, you know, looks a lot, you know, just feeding the ball to the backs, you know, and mixing in, you know, passes here and there. They do have talented receivers, but I think you're going to see more of a, you know, if they're ahead or if it's a tight game, you're going to see a lot of, you know, heavy run percentage with San Francisco. Over to Kansas City, they have the veterans in that locker room, you know, that you'd feel comfortable with taking into a game in this spot. Offensively, Kansas City can put points up very quickly. If it comes into a shootout, San Francisco might be done because I love Kansas City's offense. This is going to be an ultimate chess match between Kansas City offensively and San Francisco's defense. Defensively for the Chiefs, Spagnuolo is great at coming up and utilizing his players in certain schemes, certain game plans to, you know, expose weaknesses, you know, of his opponents and to play into his, you know, personal strengths. I'm sure, you know, Spagnuolo has just about everything all set, ready to go. You can't sleep on that guy. Special teams-wise, they're about even. Both units have a great special teams unit. This is probably going to be, you know, come down to, you know, last drive in the fourth quarter. You know, maybe a, you know, late late field goal, takes the win, or, you know, game-winning touchdown. But it's I don't really see this as a, you know, as a one-sided blowout. I don't see it. I think both teams are just about evenly matched. Offensively, I would give the edge to Kansas City. Defensively, I give the edge to, you know, the 49ers. They're a hungry, hungry defense. They want to put their mark on the field, and I think they're going to do it on Sunday defensively. I think Mahomes is going to be under, you know, some duress all day long.
Okay.
You know,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
That's really it.
All right. That's Worm, everybody. Like his Facebook page if you can. Worm. Big ups to Worm. Appreciate that, sir. Dre Graham. Where are you, Dre Graham?
What's
good? Do your spiel, man. You're on the clock.
Oops. All right, yeah. I got San Fran.
Crazy.
Go ahead, man. Yeah. Go ahead. I got San Fran on this one. On the simple fact, I think that their Kansas City defense is kind of suspect, and I think San Fran has too many weapons. Like everybody already said, they've had a hell of a running game this year. You know, other than that, as far as offense, nobody really know if you shut the run down, can they, you know, can they move the ball through the air? You know, it's to the point where Garoppolo has been called a game manager per se and all that. But I believe that if the run gets shut down, and you know, they'll come out and have a game plan for that. On the flips, I want to see the matchup. Whoever lines up across from this is Bosa. Whoever lines up across from him, because you know Mahomes is scrambling quarterback. He can get out of there, but I think Bosa is going to be back there damn near every play. It's going to be exciting to see, you know, how that matchup come in. See if he's going to get a couple of sacks against Mahomes. But Mahomes is smart, man. When you get him, Mahomes is a beast, man. He's no look passing. He ain't got to look down the field to pass it, man. He throw video game passes. That's what make it so hard with him. He don't even have to have his feet set. He's running on the run. But yeah, like I said, it's not gonna be a blowout. It should be a pretty good game because San Fran has a hell of a defense. So, but I think that Kansas City defense is gonna step it up, but they're still suspect to me. If we're doing predictions, I say 24-17. About 24-17.
Well, we weren't, but that's okay. All right.
Uh-huh.
That's it? That's it, homie?
Yeah, I mean, and can we say something else? Like,
well, say something else for about a minute.
It's not what I just read that Carolina and Austin parted ways, if that, veteran tight end for us, maybe. Never know.
Okay. Well, hold on to that thought, bro. Thanks, man. Let me do something else. Thanks, bro.
All right.
Where are we? 929-477-4171. This is the Super Bowl preview. Niners versus Chiefs. Versus Chiefs. Stephen Chris on the line with my man Bakes. This is at NYG Frontliners on Instagram and Frontliners on Facebook. What's up, homie?
What's going on, man?
You, what's up, man? Welcome back. Let me hear it. What you got, bro?
What's good, family, first and foremost? But listen, this is going to be an interesting matchup. This is probably going to be one of the better Super Bowls in a long time. Just coming in with the matchup, Frisco got that great defense, that great front four. They got a solid running game, solid quarterback play. They could put points up as well. But, the Chiefs are prolific, man. They got killer speed on offense. They can spot a team 24 points and come back and score 35 points in the next quarter.
Hey, no, keep talking, bro. Keep talking.
So, the boys in Vegas got the spread at 1.5. So you can tell the matchup is really good. I think the game is going to go to the Chiefs. I'm rooting for the Chiefs. As a Giant fan, I could never root for San Francisco. That's why I could never do sports gambling because I'm too emotional when it comes to these things. But I think the Chiefs got a chance to win. But I will say they cannot spot San Francisco a huge lead like they did in those previous games. They cannot do that. I think if they spot them a 20-point lead with a defense, I don't think they can come back from. I think it's really going to come down to who makes the biggest plays or who makes the biggest mistakes. Because the matchup is so almost a push. But I think Mahomes is going to be spectacular in this game. It's going to be tight to me towards the end. But I think the key is really going to be that speed that the Chiefs have. You can't really scheme for that. Can't scheme for that kind of speed. The only thing they could do is run the ball like they did in the last game and keep them off the field forever. But, that's the only way they could do that. But I think Andy Reid is really going to be scheming for that defense. This is the second time around. Both the coaches are second time around. Andy Reid lost previously against the Patriots when he was coaching for the Eagles. That's the famous game where they said Donovan McNabb was sick and all the other excuses they was making by Donovan McNabb. And then Shanahan, when he made that, when they gave up that tremendous lead to the Patriots. So they both coaches previously lost to the Patriots. But I think really the key is going to come down to how that defense of San Francisco matches up to that Kansas City Chiefs offensive speed. And I just think you can't really, except for the run, you can't match up with it. But I got the Chiefs winning probably by 10 late in the game. I'm really excited to see the game. I really wanted to see how it's going to play out. I really don't care who wins either way, but I think it's going to be an exciting game as the previous Super Bowls where – I didn't really care. This is one I really do want to see because it's going to be a really good matchup, and I just hope it's really entertaining, and I hope the Chiefs win.
Okay. All right. That's the wonderful base, ladies and gentlemen. 929-477-4171. I don't know. Again, I was talking about the run defense before. I'm kind of confused on it a little bit because, you know, the 49ers, they had their, you know, struggles, you know, stopping the opposing, we want to call it ground game this season, even though they had, you know, overall success. They give up 100 yards or more a lot, okay? I think their main stopper is probably Fred Warner. Correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen. I think he's the one because he's had about three or four forced fumbles. And, of course, you guys know what Richard Sherman and Buckner can do. I'm just so confused about it because I don't – the rushing attack, you know, for Kansas City is like a secondary option for them, man. You know, all I see is Mahomes left and Mahomes right, man. You know, in fact, he's their leading scorer and has been, I mean, leading rusher, rather. He's been their leading rusher in the entire postseason, you know. I know Damian Williams, he's got about, you know, he comes on. He's quite effective in situations. You know, he's got three scores, and nobody, after those two, nobody runs the ball more than twice in the playoffs, man. I don't know what Shady McCoy is going to do. He's only had one snap against the Texans, and he didn't play the AFC Championship game. I think the Chiefs probably had like three run plays of like 20 yards in the postseason, and two of those belong to Mahomes. You know, so I'm not really sure what's going to happen there. That's something that might turn the tide here and cause this game to be a little bit more closer than we anticipate. But nonetheless, Azul, what's your prognosis here, bro?
I have a question for Worm because I was listening to everybody. I wanted to follow up with Worm. But Worm, real quick, you know, without getting too long-winded, let me ask you a question on the points you said. I just want to get a more deeper perspective as far as you said San Francisco. Are you saying that the Chiefs get up 24-0, that San Francisco, it's over for them? Or how do you see it in the situation if they're down three scores, if they went for both these teams love the analytic game as far as going for fourth and one. How do you look at it as far – this is for Worm. Worm, what do you feel as far as at what point Kansas City – or not Kansas City, San Francisco can't be down? Is it 21-0, 24? At what point is the threshold, Worm? What's your thoughts and why?
I think if San Francisco's down by three scores – anytime, probably midway through the third, I think the game is probably going to be decided there. You will see them go for it on a lot of, you know, fourth and ones because they will play that analytic aspect. But at that point, I just think, you know, Andy Reid's going to find a way to just put that game out of reach once they go up by three scores. You know, if it's a three-score game in the first half, I'm really not too concerned at that point, but if Kansas City's up by three scores, you know, midway through the third, I know there's a lot of football left, but I think that game's over.
Okay.
That's just the way I see it.
Right. One more follow up question, and we go back around. I'm gonna go to Carl on this question. Carl, what about who has the better playmakers? It's probably not. My guess would be the Niners for you, but what defensively? Or the counter defensively that the defenses are going to have to make adjustments because I think both coaches are good play calls. I'm talking about Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, with Eric Bieniemy. What do you thought as far as defensive adjustments? Maybe more so to the pass if they have to go through those, especially in between the 40s, midfield. What's your thoughts on that, Carl?
I think what the Chiefs defensively might be thinking is they may want to try to get Garoppolo to throw the ball outside the numbers. Because if you take a look at the 49.
Is it there?
Hello?
Hello?
Carl, are you still there?
He's there. Oh, no, we'll continue. I don't know what
we'll
happened.
We'll be back.
Was he there?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Go
that
ahead.
Was
go. Repeat that again. Repeat that again.
Carl. Carl, you on the line, man, or what?
Hello? Yeah, you keep on going in and out. Yeah, you're going in and out.
I saw my network for whatever reason had cut out there for a second. No, what I was saying was to try to filter the 49ers passing offense to the outside reaches of the field, because Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders, most of those guys are pretty much inside players. They do a lot of their damage. If you look at the chart of the 49ers big pass plays this season, they come from inside of that part of the field. And so defensively, if I'm Kansas City, I'm packing the middle of the field. I'm just flooding the zone of defenders in that part of the field and force the game outside. Conversely, if I'm the 49ers, you know, part of me is just saying, just pray that they drop a few passes, because you know they're gonna make their plays. You know, are you gonna stop? They're gonna probably the Chiefs are probably gonna get what? I'm figuring on a normal day you probably get 11 possessions, and I think the 49ers are trying to figure out a way to keep them to 9, and then of those 9. Try to just hopefully set up a situation where you force them in the field goals. But, you know, the Chiefs, the reason why the Chiefs don't run the ball a lot of the time is because they believe they can score any time they throw the ball. That's the thing. They, at each level of the field, whether it's Kelce underneath, whether it's Nykoble Hardman for 20 yards, whether it's Tyreek Hill for 50 yards, they stretch you so much that – you have to make a decision as to what you want to take away. You want to take away the deep pass? You almost want to say, hey, listen, Patrick, try to go the long field and complete a bunch of 8-yard passes. But unfortunately, when things break down, as we saw in the game against the Titans, you break down for 1 second, it's going 60. There's nothing you can do. And the one thing that I'm wondering about on Sunday is kind of reminiscent to the 07 game against the Pats. The 49ers just completely obliterate the Chiefs, the offensive line, to the point where Mahomes does not have time to do anything. And I keep thinking of that Strahan quote where he says in that documentary, he says, if we don't pressure Tom Brady, we cannot win this game.
Yep.
And it's stuck in my head, because the 49ers have the defensive line to do this. They have the linebackers to do this. They have the corners to do this. They have the ability to pull this off. But I keep that part of me is like, man, can Bosa wreck the game? And if he can wreck the game with help from his friends, then they got a shot. But I wanted to ask Worm something that he was talking about earlier. He was mentioning about keeping the Chiefs offense off the field as a method for the 49ers to win the game Sunday. Now, the Titans tried that in the first half in the championship game. They were up by 10 points and were dominating the time position by about 10 minutes. By the time halftime showed up, they were losing. So is that theory of just keeping them off the field when the Chiefs can score basically in 3 plays anytime they get the ball, is that, as we look at this game Sunday, is that really an effective enough strategy to just say, we're just going to limit your possessions? Because we've seen now too many times where the Chiefs have had the ball for low periods of clock and still scoring an awful lot of points. You know, like, is that a worthwhile theory going into this game?
Let's go to Worm. Where do you want to answer that question?
Yeah, no. What I mean by keeping them off the field is having quality possessions and putting 7 points on the board, you know, extending. I should have clarified that, and I should have spoke a little bit more clear, and I guess I didn't. When I say, you know, keep them off the field, I mean having quality possessions and putting points on the board,
right?
And not field goals. It's got to be, you know, 7 points. You know, having, you know, an 8 to 12 play drive, you know, anywhere between 7 to 8 minutes off the clock, and you know, putting them on the end zone, you know, just, you know, having, you know, limiting the drives of Kansas City, and doing nothing with the ball isn't going to help you. You got to put points on the board. That's what I meant by keeping them off the by keeping them off the field. So
all right.
my fault for not.
No, that's okay. We got it. All right, Carl, that's cool. Got some question answers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you know what. Let's add one more to this as well, and this is for everybody. You know, there's been talk this week that, well, what happens if the game gets into a shootout? Can the 49ers compete? We already saw that game this season. The 49ers played the Saints this season and won the game, I believe, 48-46. They were down six, I believe, you know, 14 or 17 points during the game, and Jimmy Garoppolo brought these guys back. Where is this coming from that, oh, if the game gets to a level, you know, where everybody's scoring, that they can't score? Where is this coming from?
It's noise. It's noise. Trust me on that one. It's noise. That's all it is. It's all it is, Carl.
Well, we can ask that question. Let's ask the question, everybody. But let's get lid on first.
Let's get to the lid on. 929-477-4171. Lit, do your thing, man. Answer Carl's question, bro.
You know what? I just chimed in. So what was Carl's question?
Go ahead with the question, Carl.
Okay, so the question is, and it's been put out there in these last 2 weeks, that if the game gets to a point where the 49ers and the Chiefs are in a shootout, the question has been, can the 49ers keep up? We have already seen that game this season from the 49ers in New Orleans, the 48-46 game, I believe the score was. Why does this belief exist that the 49ers can't score enough points if the game gets to that point?
Well, actually, you know what? I'll throw this spin on it. I think they can and will keep up in the shootout because you're going to have Kyle Shanahan's father as the basically, I think he's the special advisor to his son, coming up with more schematics all around, whether it be on special teams, offense. So it will be a shootout, and I guarantee that the 49ers will be able to compete tit for tat because you're going to have Mike Shanahan involved in this this game on Sunday. But it's not going to be said, but it's going to be known amongst us intelligent people. He's designing plays as we're speaking. So, yeah, they will be, because there's your secret weapon right now. It's called Daddy.
But, man, before you spill on this game, bro.
But real quick, I know we're pressed for time. Again, I'm going with the 49ers. I don't know if you've got our picks yet, because of the fact that they have the special weapon in his father. But it'd be really nice to see Andy Reid win a Super Bowl. And I'm going to say this on a personal level. The guy lost his son. I don't know if you all remember, but he lost his son to a drug overdose. It really messed him up, I think, kind of socially and personally. I think this would give real good closure for Andy Reid for the loss of his son some years ago to win a Super Bowl. And I'll just leave it at that.
That's a good call. Thank you, bro. All right.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you. That's the definition himself. I have a question. This one's for Bates.
Okay.
So Bates, frontline extraordinaire, were you at that game in 2017 when the Giants visited the 49ers? I forgot the name of the stadium. I never been there either.
Levi Stadium?
You there?
No, yeah. I was not. I did not make it out there.
Oh, okay. For some reason, man, whenever we have a road game, I'm always thinking of you, bro. The road
party. I appreciate it.
Automatically assume you was there. The reason I ask is because, Steve, I know that game, and this is positivity thing I'm talking about. I know that game 2 years ago, okay, when they had just hired Shanahan and Lynch, you know, to be the head coach, the general manager tandem, they started out 0-9, okay? Started 0-9, and I think they was trying to figure it out. And they acquired Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think they beat the Giants, then he lost. And then I think Garoppolo won the last 5 games, and they never looked back. And I just wanted to, I don't know, I guess my question initially, I guess the whole crowd could take this question. My question initially was that win over the Giants a
catalyst for their success now, do you think? Just look. The reason I'm asking this question, because I know this is the intelligent football fans I'm talking to right now. Okay, I know these. You guys are the guys that watch the sidelines like I do, know the analytics, understand the abilities and shortcomings of each of these two teams that are in the Super Bowl now. And I wanted to know, was that the catalyst? Or was it just – I don't think it was just Garoppolo's appearance. I know that Marquise Goodwin gave us a thrash in that game. I just want to know, do you think that was the turnaround of this franchise, man, for their current success? And I'll start with you, actually, Azul. I want to know, what do you think?
Well, to correct you, Garoppolo was traded, but he was not playing in that game. The quarterback for that game was C.J. Beathard.
Beathard.
He started.
Yeah,
that
he
game.
Killed. He killed us.
I don't know. I'm not going to go that far to say he was the catalyst to that run. Because the Giants had went back the next season, and I think Litt was at that game. It was a Monday night game, and Nick Mullins was the quarterback, and the Giants beat them. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to answer that. And the answer, what was it, Carl's question? Remember, the Giants played a Monday night game right after the bye. Litt was at that game.
Okay, I remember.
Nick Mullins was the quarterback. I forgot. I think Garoppolo had – or, yeah, he – you know what? The irony in this is Garoppolo – and the season versus the Chiefs, that game. It was the Chiefs
That's right.
game. It was in Kansas City.
That's right.
Yeah, I totally forgot about it. But anyway, to answer the question, yes, the Niners could play in the shootout. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Just like that, for all the reasons. They could play any game. If they want to play a rugged, you know, what they did against Baltimore, even though they lost, they can play that game. If they want to beat you up, run the football like they did against Carolina at home, they could beat you that way. At New Orleans, they could play a shootout game if they want to. I mean, don't sleep on the skilled position players. I have a question for Dre. If Dre can answer this, who do you fear more, Kelce or Kittle, and why? And then we could get some picks. Wow. I don't get any other questions and comments on that. Dre, who do you fear more if you was an opposing defender, Kittle or Kelce, and why?
Dre.
Is he there? I don't know. We can throw that at anybody else on their picks. I don't have anything else. If anybody else has a question, Biggs, you got a question for anybody on here about the game itself or not?
Does anyone think would be a factor that no one is really considering outside of what we already talked about, besides Kyle Shanahan's daddy?
That's a great question. Let's go right down the line. Carl, is there a factor? Biggs' question, as far as, is there a factor that anybody has not considered?
Not really in this particular case. You know, the one thing that I think probably should be noted is that, you know, the 49ers rushing attack is not basically consisting of one guy. You know, if you take back a look at how the playoffs have played out, Tevin Coleman was their star in the Vikings game. Mostert was their star in the Green Bay game. So there's no one guy that you're probably leaning on. Now, Matt Breida hasn't played much and gotten much snaps in these last two games. Would it surprise anybody if all of a sudden he comes out and is a surprise player and makes a couple of plays, whether it's in the passing game or in the running game, and he's the guy? I think what happens, I think that might be something I'm thinking about, is where, you know, we've been leaning on all these, you know, the stars that have, you know, played a role in these last two games, but all of a sudden he may come out the shadows and give himself a game as well.
All right. Let's see, who else is it? Dre, is he back? Dre, are you back? Probably on mute. Chris, you want to answer that question from Bakes, and then myself, and then we'll get to the picks.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Bakes.
The question is, outside of what we've discussed, do you think there's any other factors that we may have not thought about that would be a key factor in how the outcome of the game turns out?
Oh, yeah, Robbie Gould. He can hit extra points, but he is a shaky-ass kicker for a Super Bowl, man. I think he's like like 23 out of 31. And I think his long was 47. And if they get into a situation where it's a little bit closer than we think, he could be a problem. I'm also not that sure of their punter either, man. I mean, well, not their punter. He might be all right. Wisnowski, I think his name was. He might be cool, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of punting in this game if they live up to their reps. I'm worried about the kicking game. Robbie Gould is shaky. And if the 49ers have a situation where this comes down a little bit closer, close to what we anticipate, that's I'm with Carl with the factor of everybody is solid on most of the on every department of the 49ers, man. But that one I can't go with because Robbie Gould's reputation precedes him. On the other side, Butker is cool, man. I mean, you know, he's got a booming. He's missed about 3 from 50 yards, but he hit about 8 of them this year. So I'm really good with him. But that's what I'm getting at. I don't know about the kicking game. That's about it. That's the thing that I'm saying. We get to another situation where it's 45-47 or you know whatever 35-34, and you have to put the ball. It comes down to Robbie Gould. And it's about a 54-yard situation. I'm not sure. That's my little problem right there. That's all I got to say about it. Give this question to anybody else.
Let's see if Lit can answer that question, too, and then I'll answer it, then we'll get to the fix. Lit, Bakes question as far as any outside factor.
The outside factor is who's going to come up with a better game plan. Is it going to be Spagnuolo or is it going to be Robert Saleh? I think that's going to be who pretty much shows up and who has the best game plan to out-duel the opposing offense. That, to me, is major significant. I mean, those two gentlemen are probably looking for future NFL head coaching jobs, but that's going to be, to me, I want to see how them two come out, how they prepare, how their squads execute.
All right. That's a great one, man.
That's
short and sweet.
Yeah,
I think another factor is more for the advantage of the 49ers. We talk about the physicality on defense. What about the physicality on offense? And I'm not even talking about their offensive line. I'm talking about downfield blocking. I mean, George Kittle is a monster with this blocking. Deebo Samuel downfield. I'm talking about next level, second level, third level stuff. Because they have the track star in the backfield that can get you 8 to 10 yards a pop. I don't fear anything from the run defense from the Kansas City Chiefs on that aspect. And I think it's not because the winning of the line of scrimmage of the Niners. It's because everybody's bought in to running the ball. And it's kind of like they love that stuff. They love running the rock. It's almost like Litt said, as far as Mike Shanahan feels like not necessarily because of their ages and the Pro Bowlers. It feels like Broncos Packers 97 was that year, the year after the Packers won the Super Bowl to beat the Patriots. It feels like that kind of game because it feels like there's more formations with the run offense this time around because it's 20 years later. It's different. It's just a different, I would say different game, but different. It's more tape. It's more ways how you break down players and stuff like that. But what I'm trying to say is going back to Liz's point, I think he's on point. It's like you got two, it's almost like two head coaches versus one. I think it's safe to say Mike Shanahan has a lot of imprint on this game. Especially the way they run the ball. It's kind of like how Terrell Davis came on the scene and they're doing all this zone blocking. You see a lot of that rod run formations out of the Niners, but I think a lot of it has to do with how, you know, back in the day, remember Rod Smith for the Broncos, McCaffrey for the Broncos, they got downfield and block. It's the same thing with the Niners, man. That's how I see it.
Right. Okay.
All right.
So you want to go around the room, man?
Let's get to the fix, man. For one thing, we put a 10-point spot on the game. Whoever gets the 10, This makes or break. Actually, I take that back. It's not a 10. I put an 8 on it. I'm sorry. The big game. Kristen is in the lead. Worm, DB Nation are 3 points behind at 20. And so is Lit. So Kristen's got a 3-point lead. We'll get her pick later. Carl's at 19. I'm at 18. Manny Dogs is at 16. Chris,
Don't mention my name. Yeah.
But let's get to the big game, man.
All right.
So let's see everybody's picks, man.
Okay, Carl.
Big game. Go ahead, Carl. Far away. Big game. Who do you got?
Oh, man. I am not going to the sports book for this game. I am not doing it. But I'm going to trust the defense here. And I'm going to take the 49ers.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
Cool, man.
Ain't not my man Robbie Gold, man. Come on.
Right.
All right. Now it's all good. Is Mitch still here?
Let's find out. Dre, you back?
Yo, Dre, you there? Dre is...
Yeah, I'm here.
What's your prediction? Give me your prediction again. I know you said something earlier.
Okay, yeah. I said the Niners prediction 24-17.
All right. All right. Thank you very much, sir. Who's up next, Steve?
Let's go to Bakes and then Lit. Picks.
Frontline extraordinaire.
Yeah, I got the Chiefs 37-25.
Damn. We got the same score. All right. Yes. Definitely the Lit.
Man, I'm gonna probably go with the Chiefs, 49 to about 42 or 45, San Francisco, somewhere around there. 49 to 42 or 45.
All right, that's Mr. Lit. I'm gonna go ahead and put my bid in for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I see a 37-24 win here, and that's my final right there. Azul. Your turn.
I will go with the Chiefs. I'm going to just give you guys a score. I don't know. 38, 33, something like that. 38, 35. Maybe a game-winning field goal. So I'm going with the Chiefs. So that's the Super Bowl picks from everybody. Let's get some final thoughts. Like I said, one more time, we'll be back on next week, next Thursday, moving it back 1 hour to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But, Carl, your final thoughts on the Super Bowl, man. You're hyped for the game, man. Thoughts and plans for the game. And then we'll get everybody's thoughts and plans, and we're out.
I will try to make sure I'm hyped a little bit by Sunday. I'm going to make sure I got the wings and the Italian beef and the sausage ready to go for the food. So we'll definitely be on that. No White Claw. We're not doing that this week. But as we look ahead to the Super Bowl here, you know, it's funny. Look at some of these players, guys. Guys like Tyreek Hill, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Nicole Hardman, Hardman. And, you know, you look at the draft position of some of these guys, third round, fourth right. round, fifth round draft picks becoming, you know, mm-hmm. top, you know, Hardman's a young player, but some of these guys becoming top players in the league. And if you just look at how, you know, in more of a Giants angle here, you know, if we're going to get to where we hope to want to get to very soon, you know, we're going to need to kind of get lucky in that realm, finding superstars in the middle to late part of the draft. And that's my final thought.
Bam, that's Carl. Hit it right on the button. I like that. All right, my man, BigBlueChicago.com, ladies and gentlemen. Big Sir at NYG Frontliners on Instagram and Frontliners on Facebook.
Yes, sir.
Do your thing, man. What final thoughts, sir?
Final thoughts is I think we're in for a real exciting game, no matter who wins. Just looking for whether it be a high-scoring game or a real defensive masterpiece, which I really doubt. But I think it's going to be exciting either way, and hopefully a good halftime show and something that we can enjoy as our final game of football and then the withdrawal kicks in. So I'm looking forward to the end of the 100-year anniversary year. Been a pretty decent year, not so great for our football Giants, but hopefully it'll cap it off with an exciting Super Bowl game.
Yes, thanks, everybody. All right, the definition.
So, you know, it's all about the food, the proposition bets, and the commercials.
The game will be fun to watch. You know, it'll be just entertainment to me as opposed to, you know, if a certain team was in the Super Bowl, that would make it all the special.
All the better.
And, you know, like Blake says and like Carl says, you know,
they both have to develop pitch at the end of the season. Let's just hope that we can hit on some, you know,
great
future picks. And then we can just kind of start the draft talk and figure out who's going to Vegas and
let the good times roll on to the next
year, because basically after the Super Bowl,
we're all 0-0. The hunt begins.
All right. The definition of lit. Well, Azul, you know, this is about as big as a blast of styles you're going to find in the postseason, and it harkens back all the way to Super Bowl 25, my favorite Super Bowl, when the big blue New York Giants and their ball control, run-oriented offense battled that high-octane, what was that called, K-gun offense of the Bills. It's going to be a challenge for the 49ers to contend with these Chiefs attacks. The 49ers are going to have to rely on the ground game. I think we're going to see a really, really, really good epic battle here of sorts. Something surprising will happen, and I'm going to be watching it right here with my peoples. I don't know. I got my cognac, so I'm going to be all right with that. And I don't know. I don't know about food, but I'm not going no place. I'll be right here where I'm talking to you guys from, right here, man. And like Masul said, next week is the we're going to move the time up to 8:00, 8 p.m. Please come back, everybody. You know, what else? Yeah, check us out on all our social media, on all Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Google. You know, the Bleed Blue Show. And Azul, it's your
yeah,
fault,
enjoy the game. But let me do this real quick before we run out. We don't even have a theme for next week. So we'll take a vote right now. We'll take a vote. Do you want to do the offense for the Giants next week to do our grades, or the defense? So we're going to do one area though. But Carl, next week when we come back on 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific, Carl, do you want to do the offense next week or the defense? One or the other?
Let's do defense.
Okay, that's one for the defense. Dre, if you're still there, you want to go offense or defense next week? Okay, his vote has not made the floor. Is he on mute? All right, Dre's vote is discarded. Let's go to the base. Vince, you want to go offense or defense next week?
Offense.
What did he say?
Offense.
He said offense. Oh, okay. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Lit. Definition of lit. You want to go offense or defense next week?
Straight D. Let's start this with the straight defense.
Defense. All right, shout out to Lit, man. Chris, what about you, man? Offense or defense?
I want to go offense. I want to get it over with.
Wow, we had 2-2, and I'm the tiebreaker vote. I'm going defense,
let's
man.
Let's go.
So we're going to defense next week.
Defense
will. We go through normally in the off season, we go like all areas, all players, but we're going to have a condensed off season. So we're going to go all the players, defensive line, linebackers, secondary, great collective grades, individual grades. Next week, we'll extend the episode by a few minutes so we can get all our perspective. And then back on the 19th, we'll be on 2 weeks after that and get to the offense and the combine as well. All right, guys.
Okay.
Sangre,
all right. Remember to check us out on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Thank you very, very much to Bakes and Lit and Carl and Dre and Worm and
love you all.
Fantastic Azul. Huh? Sangre Azul.
Let's
go. Enjoy the Super Bowl, y'all.
Can you
enjoy
dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.